Well, tonight I would like for you to turn to 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 10. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 10. Brother Tom preached from this passage and the surrounding verses last week. And that, coupled with the fact that we are going through Pilgrim's Progress in the Sunday school class here in the auditorium, and the next chapter, we deal with a man named Mr. Temporary, who starts and yet does not finish. And then, on top of that, there is a pastor that I know of, I don't know him, but I know of him, that has ruined his ministry with an inappropriate relationship. And so I have been consumed the last week with verse 10. And so you all are always so gracious and let me just vent when I get consumed. You let me get that out. And so we'll break away from our norm and let's deal with this verse tonight. It is a very simple, straightforward, scary verse. It is a verse that scares me to death. For Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica. I'm praying you feel the weight of that verse. I'm praying that you feel the seriousness of that verse. Demas has forsaken me. Having loved this present world, he is departed. So tonight I want to look at this passage of Scripture and talk about the departure of Demas. Because whether we want to admit it or not, we all have some Demas in us. So let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we ask tonight that you would take your word and teach us. Take your word and rebuke us. Take your word and warn us. May your word become those guardrails that will keep us in the right road. God, we ask that you would enable us to see and to feel and to know the tragedy that is in this verse, and to know that if it were not for the grace of God, we would be like Demas. So help us to understand, help us to see, help us to glory in the strength and the power of our God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I want to talk about this departure in verse number 10. Three things. I want to begin by helping us to understand some things that lead up to his departure. So I want to talk about the devotion of Demas, that preceded his departure. It wasn't that Demas just started yesterday. It wasn't that Demas just began to follow Paul yesterday. But we will find Demas referred to in two other places in the New Testament. Both places in the epistles of Paul. The first is Colossians 4, 14. The other is Philemon 1, 24. And both the reference in Colossians and the reference in Philemon were written about 5 years before Paul writes the second letter to Timothy. So, Demas is a companion of Paul for at least 5 years. Let me read both of those references to you. In Colossians 4:14, Paul writes, Luke, the beloved physician, and Demas greet you. And then in Philemon 1:24, again, a reference to the fellow laborers here, Paul says, Marcus, Aristarchus, Demas, and Lucas, or Luke, my fellow laborers. So, let me begin by looking at this devotion as Demas being an associate or in association with Paul. Paul says that Demas was a fellow laborer. Now you understand Paul was serious about the work of God. He had basically cut ties with John Mark because he felt John Mark was not up to the task of the work. But here, he says that Demas was a fellow laborer. He worked side by side with Paul. And as Paul planted Christ-honoring churches, so Demas was involved in that work. Demas had been there to experience the difficulty of the work. And as Paul writes the letter here to the church at Colossae, from prison, Demas is with him, along with Luke, the beloved physician. And again, Demas is listed as a co-laborer with Paul, a partner with Paul. Now, what I want you to understand is Demas is not some servant, he's not some professor of Christ that is living out on the fringes of ministry. It's not that he has professed Christ and sometimes he shows up and sometimes he doesn't and sometimes he's on a high and sometimes he's on a low. No, he's in the midst of the work that Paul is doing. Here is a man who has rolled up his sleeves, he's packed up his bags, he's left his family, and he is working right alongside with the Apostle Paul. And Paul has seen him. Paul has worked with him, Paul has evaluated him, and has come to the conclusion that Demas was a fellow laborer. One of the few that Paul could actually depend upon. They had preached together, they had witnessed together, they had planted churches together, and Demas had been a part of what God was doing and accomplishing in Paul, with Paul, and through Paul. They had worked together hand in hand, serving God. Demas was not some fly-by-night professor. So we see the association with Paul. We see the appreciation of Paul. As we read Colossians and Philemon, you can almost hear the appreciation in Paul's writings for Demas. Paul, Luke, and Demas greet you. Now, I don't know what you're thinking there, but that's quite a group of godly men to be included in. Amen? If you can include my name in with Luke and Paul, hallelujah. Paul, Luke, Demas. Again, Paul claims him as a fellow laborer. He had been an encouragement to Paul in the ministry. When in Rome, Demas refused to leave Paul and encouraged him while Paul was in prison. One of the ones whom Paul would say he appreciated in the ministry was Demas. He was dependable, he was trustworthy, he was loyal, and was a great help to Paul. And Paul appreciated his walk with God, and Paul appreciated his work for God. Now, I've laid that groundwork scripturally so that you can see how involved, how dedicated, how loyal, how sold out Demas was in the work of God. Because 5 years later, we have a tragedy. Number two, the desertion that paves the way for his departure. Luke, Paul, and Demas greet you. Marcus, Aristarchus, Lucas, Demas, my fellow laborers. 5 years later, Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed. Folks, that is a tragedy. Now, I want to say this. Before Demas's feet departed Paul, his heart had already deserted the Lord. So it is the desertion of the heart that paved the way for the departure of his feet. Now, Paul does not give us any details here. We are left to imagine, maybe, or assume, but we don't have any reason to pinpoint why Demas left. Was it that Demas constantly saw Paul in jail and figured that's where he was going to spend the rest of his life as well? Maybe it is the difficulty of the work. Maybe Paul said something that offended him. We don't know what it was that eventually caused Demas to leave. What we do have is Paul's summation of the reason. Don't know what it was exactly that caused Demas to depart, but we know the background or the backstory of why he left. He loved this present world. Now listen, no matter what reason Demas may have given as to why he left, the real reason was that he loved this present world. Paul did not listen to the lips of Demas. For whatever reason he gave, he was leaving, but he examined his heart and he came to the conclusion that Demas, no matter what he said, loved this present world. So let me just mention a couple of things here. First, the abandonment. It's exactly what the word means here when Paul says that Demas has forsaken him. He has abandoned Paul. He has forsaken me. That's what Paul says. He has abandoned me. The word means literally to leave someone in a difficult situation or a difficult spot. Paul's in jail. What Paul was saying was this: Demas has ceased to care for me. Or he has ceased to care for the pain and the trouble that Paul was going through. A fellow laborer 5 years later doesn't care what Paul is going through. He has forsaken him. Now notice that he did not say he had forsaken the ministry. Paul says he has abandoned, he has forsaken me. He left me. He quit caring about me. When Paul needed him the most, Demas left. Before Demas left for Thessalonica, he abandoned Paul. Notice secondly, his affections. Why did he abandon Paul? Why did he leave and go back to Thessalonica? Because he loved this present world. His love for one thing caused a lack of love for another thing. Understand that. His love for one thing caused a lack of love for another thing. And that is the way it is, folks. I've had people come to me and tell me, married people come to me and tell me that they have fallen out of love with their wife, or they've fallen out of love with their husband. And I know the minute they say that, they've fallen out of love with them because they've fallen in love with someone else. They deny it, but it's true. And just as a love for Christ will cause you to have less love for the world and the things of this world, so will a love for the world cause you to love Christ less and the people of God less. Demas has forsaken me because he doesn't love me anymore because he loves the world. And you can't love both. You can't love both. Because a love for one will cause a lack of love for the other. And Paul says here that Demas's love for the world is evidenced in his lack of love for Paul and for Christ. I think it went this way. Demas's love for the world caused him to love Christ less. And as he loved Christ less, he loved Paul less. His affections and his heart found another to love. Listen to me. The more I am satisfied, the more I am content with, and the more I am committed to the things of this world, the less I will be satisfied with, the less I will be content with, and the less I will be committed to Christ and the church. You need to write that down somewhere. I'm going to say it again. The more I am satisfied with the world, the more I am content with the world, the more I am committed to the things of the world, the less I will be satisfied with, content with, and committed to Christ and the church. It's almost like a seesaw. Do we still have seesaws in this world? Yeah. If you're up, the other's down. If you're down, the other's up. If you love the world, you don't love Christ. If you love Christ, you don't love the world. Amen? Does not the Bible say if the love of the world is in you, then the love of God is not in you? The less I find wrong with the world, the more I will find wrong with my brother and sister in Christ. The more I am excited by the things of the world, the less I will be excited about the things of God. You see, his affections, his heart. Now, I want you to see something here. It wasn't that Demas was evil. It wasn't that Demas was terrible. It was that he had fallen in love with the things of the world. Jobs, promotions, people, places, pleasures, things that aren't bad, but his affections for them caused his affections for Christ and Paul to wane. Paul says, he doesn't love me anymore. He doesn't care for anymore. He's not concerned about me anymore. Why? Because he doesn't love Christ, because he loves the world. His affections are on the world. Amen? And there's a lot in the world to love. There's a lot in the world vying for your affections. There's a lot in the world trying to steal your time and your energy and your heart. Number three. We've seen here the devotion that preceded his departure, the desertion of his heart that paved the way for the departure of his feet, and then the discovery that is a product of his departure. Notice the disappointment. Can you hear the disappointment in Paul's words? Timothy, you come to me. Do with all diligence, come to me, Timothy, because Demas has forsaken me. Having loved this present world, he has departed. And you can almost imagine Timothy shocked to hear that. Demas has been there. Demas has worked side by side, and now he's gone. And you can just hear the disappointment in Paul's words. His heart is broken. Paul says here, not only has he loved the world, but he has loved this present world. What Demas has forgotten in his love for the world is that there is another day. There is another time. There is another age. There is another world. And Demas has chosen this present world, and he has chosen poorly. There are two worlds, two ages, two times, and Demas has chosen very poorly. He has loved the wrong world. It's not that he's drunken, it's not that he is involved in all sorts of debauchery. It's not that he's an infidel or that he lacks courage or conviction. It's just that he has allowed the world that has made a bid for him, and he has chosen the now and the present and forgotten eternity. He has forgotten why they were planting churches. He's forgotten why they were witnessing to people. He forgot why they were preaching to people. There is another world. He has chosen the applause of men, and he's forgotten the favor of God. He's chosen this present world and has forgotten the world that is to come. Not because he's evil, not because he's a drunk, but because he's lost interest in God and lost interest in Christ and lost interest in Paul and God's people, having loved this present world. He has no interest in God or Paul, so he's gone. Why? Because he's interested in the things of this present world. Notice the dependence. So, what do I say to myself about Demas? What does this verse cause me to say to me? And this is what it causes me to say. God, help me stay true to the faith. God, help me to finish the course. God, help me to fight the good Lord, lead me not into temptation, for I know how easily I am swayed. Lord, lead me not into temptation, for I know how easily I can love this present world. Lord, lead me not into temptation, for I know how easily I am distracted from what is truly important. That's what I say to me. I want you to drop down to verse number 16. It's not on the screen, so drop down in your Bibles. Verse number 16. Paul, heartbroken that Demas, a fellow laborer, has forsaken him, loving this present world, and has departed when he needed him the most. And Paul says this, at my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge. What a gracious servant of God. Notwithstanding, Demas has left. Others have left. Others have departed. I ask God, you not lay that to their charge. Notwithstanding, when everybody else was gone, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by the preaching might be fully known, and that all the Gentiles might hear. And I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion, and the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work, and will preserve me unto His heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. May we learn to lean more heavily on our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. May we fear, may we have a fear of shipwrecking our lives at the very end. Do you know that you can have a life and then ruin it at the end? May our dependence be in Him, not men. May He deliver us from loving this present world. God, deliver us from a love of this present world. May He preserve us from being like Demas. May God keep us from temptation, knowing how quickly we can fall. May we know if it were not for the grace of God, we could insert our own name there. Mike Belcher has forsaken me. Having loved this present world, he has departed. You can plug your name in there if it were not for the grace of God. Now the question here that I want to ask at the end is this. Was Demas a backslider? Or was Demas an apostate? Was there a time when Demas, convicted by the power of the Holy Spirit, came back to Christ? Or did he perish in the world in which he loved? The answer is we don't know. We're not told. This is the last thing we hear of Demas in the Scriptures. We are left to wonder. And how fearful it is to not know. To see Demas and to not be able to tell if he was a saint of God or not. I don't know. There was a time when he looked like he was, and then there was a time that he looked like he wasn't. I don't know if he went to heaven or hell. And I'm thinking, God, don't let my life end that way. That people can't tell, people won't have any assurity in their heart that I was a child of God. Don't let me in that way. Don't let me start and then drive it into the rocks because I'm capable and you're capable. The Bible says we need to take heed lest we fall. What brings this about? Hardships? Difficulties? The preacher I was telling you about, he was a very well-known pastor of the church. Very widely sought speaker, traveled around the country preaching the gospel, came home from a trip, found out that his wife was having an affair while he was gone. Devastated, he shared his story and his struggles and his heartbreak with a woman and wound up himself having an affair with her. And the world says, I can't believe he would do that. And I say, and you should say, if it were not for the grace of God, I would do that. May we fearfully and tremblingly pray that God's strength would enable us not to love this pathetic present world. May we not be deceived in thinking that things of this world are better than God. There's nothing to compare here with Him. May we not let the things of this world so consume our attention that we don't have time for God or God's people. Lord, help us. And may we not be devastated when others fall and when others fail to stick with us. Let God help us not be devastated, knowing that if everyone forsakes us, we have a God that will never leave us nor forsake us. That's what I've been swimming in this week. Amen. I trust the Lord will press home the weightiness of that to our hearts. I don't want it to be said of me. He left. He quit. He failed. He failed. Whatever. Because He loved this present world. And I don't want it to be said of you either. Amen. Dear Heavenly Father, thank You for Your Word, the examples that You leave us, the warnings that You have for us, the weightiness of Your Word. We know that without Christ, we are nothing. Without Christ, we can do nothing. Without the power of Christ and God in our lives, we are all sunk. We have not the ability in our flesh not to love this world. So God, help us. Give us the grace. Lead us away from those temptations. Don't even let us get close to those things that we would allow our hearts to gravitate towards. Keep our eyes on You. Keep our hearts in tune with You and with God's people. Let us live our lives and die and leave this world with our attention and our dedication and our commitment intact with You. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.